God however I want because no one's looking up this way. I also enjoyed seeing who came in late. That was kind of fun. Praise the Lord. We're not dependent on our technology, and if everything shuts down, we will still worship the Lord. Amen. Let's turn to our scripture reading today, Psalm 1, on page 431 in the Pew Bibles. I invite you to open your Bible, have it resting in front of you, and let God speak to you more than what I say through His Word. The Word of God is living and active. And as we meditate on His Word, He's feeding our souls. So Psalm 1, page 431. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so with the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. So today we're beginning a new series. It's called Ready, Set, Go. This came about a couple months ago. Pastor Josh and I got together and we were talking about praying, and we spent some time off-site working out our sermon series for the fall. And as we come to the end of summer vacation, we're going to school, we're going to jobs, we kind of are past that phrase of taking it a little easier during the summer. And sometimes there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. I was also thinking about our goals here in the church. We want to see growth. We want to see us go deeper. I got excited about that. And I said, we need a pump-up series to get us all pumped up and ready to go. And then I started working on that sermon series. I started feeling more and more pressure. I started feeling anxiety. I'm like, this somehow doesn't feel right. And I realized many of us are feeling that pressure. Anxiety, the pressure to perform, the pressure to get it all right. Kids, you're going to school and there's a pressure of going, some of you go into a brand new school. I know some of you I talked to about that. You've got to make friends, you've got to do your homework. Others are getting involved in sports and there's a lot of pressure to get things right, to do things right. Then there's parents who are working jobs and also transporting their children to all the sports events, to after school events, to school, getting them ready in the morning. There's a lot of pressure. Others are going about other ways of life with jobs, pressures, or whatever's going on in your life. It can feel like a lot. So I realized the best way for us to see fruit in our lives and to be able to handle these pressures, to let go of anxiety, find the peace that we all need, is simply resting in Jesus. You don't need a pump-up message today. This congregation is already pumped up. We already are seeing wonderful things happen. We need to be able to rest in the presence of Jesus, grow in His Word, and release everything to Him. He's the one who will bring it about when we abide in Him, as the song we were just singing. So today we're going to look at a gardening metaphor to help us apply this message in this psalm to us. Josh and I went and we asked Asia Sides to tell us about gardening. She's a master gardener. So if you'd like to turn around one more time, we're going to watch a short video.
Today we're going to be planting seeds, but we're going to go through all the stages to make sure our seeds are planted in the most beneficial environment for them to succeed and bear the harvest at the end. So the first step is to weed. You want to make sure the area no leaves, free from any things that you don't want to take over your vegetables. So initially getting them out first is going to be helpful.
Thank you for that, Asia. Let's give her a hand. So Asia is, as I said, is a master gardener. And one thing that's coming up, I'll just do a little plug, is in the spring we'll be starting a community garden. This is the result of our BONI team, B-O-N-I, which stands for Bless Our Neighbors Initiative. So we're hoping if to start the community garden, people from our community can come in and garden, as well as maybe some other beautiful pathways and things that'll be inspirational. If you're interested in serving on that team, please go talk to Asia. Do you want to just wave, Asia, so people know who you are? Thank you for that. So as we look at our souls as like a garden, what do we need to do? First of all, we realize our master gardener is Jesus. He's the one doing the real work. We have a part in it, but he's gardening the souls of our life. The first thing we need to do is surrender everything to him and acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, saying, will you come and take charge of this garden of my life? You may look inside and say, there's lots of weeds growing, there's lots of, it's not level, there's rocks, there's things that can be removed, I feel like a mess. But when you give our lives to Jesus, he is a patient gardener. And he'll come in, he'll remove the stones, he'll start weeding, and he'll start putting the nutrients that we need into our souls, and our lives will begin to blossom and grow. So we look at our scripture as a guide as well. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. So first of all, we need to get the weeds out of our garden. We need to do a little weeding ourselves. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal where are those areas in my life that need to be pulled out completely. These can be areas of sin that we're struggling with. We can learn to confess our sins to each other and pray and allow others to help us then pull those weeds of sin out of our lives. It means getting rid of bad attitudes, about negativity. The scripture says about sitting with the mockers, watching our speech. It also means taking care about who we hang out with. This is a hard one. We want to have good friends, but we need to ask ourselves, are we being influenced and pulled away from the Lord by the friends that we're hanging out with? I would like to say, especially to young people, let's make sure that we have strong Christian friends who are following Jesus in our life. And I would just say this, you need to have more Christian friends than non-Christian friends. We want to have friends with people in the world and people who do not yet know Jesus, but we need to have that balance or else we will become like the people we're hanging out with. And that is a general principle. We become like the people we spend time with. So let's look at a gauge, let's gauge our lives, and let's choose carefully the friends that we bring really close. Those are the people that are going to have the biggest influence in our lives. Besides then, looking at our garden, some of the things that need to be pulled out and pruned are not weeds. They might be good things in themselves, but sometimes they start crowding out the things in your life that are more important. In my garden, for example, I planted some fall beets. I'm hoping they'll come up. And as I was looking at it, and I was out there during the middle of the day, there is some nice Cosmo flowers between my two beds that had grown up. They're bright orange. They're beautiful. There's also lemon balm that's been spreading around. And it was also growing up. And both of these plants were making shade on the place where I planted my beets. And I realized that's not good. They're not getting enough sun. So some of them, even though they're beautiful, I pulled out. Some of the others, I trimmed back. So let's ask ourselves a question. What are those things in our lives that are crowding out the time with the Lord, the time in good Christian fellowship, the time to be at peace and at rest? And let's do the work of pruning and trimming and choosing the excellent and not allowing the good things to trim, to crowd out the excellent things that we need in our lives, especially time with the Lord. This past week, this made me do some serious introspection, of course, as I worked on the sermon. And the end result was I deleted Facebook app from my phone. So I confess, I'd gotten hooked on Reels. My daughter told me about them about a year ago. I'd never noticed them before. And I thought, wow, every 20 seconds there's a new little video that comes up and you feel that dopamine rush. It's like, oh, that's really cool. I started watching things like, I watched lots of gardening videos. Also, opera singers, great pianists, people doing stunts, people jumping off cliffs, diving into rivers. It just seems like this never ends. There were comedians, I'm laughing, and it just took my whole attention. And they just go on from one to another. I noticed that my attention span has gotten shorter. Like, I'm even looking for something to watch on TV. 2 minutes in, that's boring. And I realized this is not good for me. It's not good for me as a person, and also it's crowding into my time sometimes with the Lord, and frankly, it's just a colossal waste of time. I sent a text to my brothers who are in a 311 group with me, and I said, brothers, I need to confess, Facebook Reels have gotten out of hand for me. I've been watching them way too much. I need to quit. Please pray for me. And I know they're going to hold me accountable, and that gives me a strength in my life. Some time ago, Pastor Josh shared with me that a lot of our youth and young adults are actually getting off social media and deleting their accounts. And I remember Jacob Mellaby shared with us that he deleted his social media, most of it that was going on. Maybe it's time for us older people to follow the example of the young people who are saying, this is enough, this is not helpful. We need to look at the things in our life and say, what am I investing into my mind, into my ears, my eyes? How am I spending my time? And let's do the work of getting the weeds and trimming things back to find the right balance. After we've pulled the weeds out, after we've trimmed back the things that are not helpful, the next step that Asia showed us is we need to work compost into the soil. Psalm 1:2 says, well, it goes on from the beginning, but blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on his law day and night. We need, like compost, we need to work the word of God into our souls and into our lives. The word of God provides nutrients that we desperately need if we're going to grow. God is planting seeds that he wants to see take root and grow. Our ideas, our creativity, the energy he's given us, the talents, many other things, visions and dreams, these are seeds that God has already planted in us. He wants to see them grow, but we need to work the nutrients into the soil. Sometimes we're like weak plants that have not been fertilized. They didn't spread the manure on the field. What happens? They're not very bright green, the color's off, they're weak, and they don't produce much fruit. Sometimes we're like a car that's running low on oil. What happens when a car doesn't have enough oil? The parts start rubbing against one another, it starts to heat up, and eventually the car is going to break down, the engine's going to go bad, resulting in engine failure. When we look at the lack of spiritual nutrients, the Word of God and prayer in our lives, we get overheated. Not only are we weak, but our tempers are short, and we start wearing out. And the things we're doing in life require more effort because we don't have the strength that we need. We don't have the vision. We don't have the vitality of life that God wants us to have. And he calls on us. We have a part in this. God is the one who does this work in us, but we have to put ourselves in the place where God then will come with his blessing and with good fertilizer, the word of God, and speak to us. One thing, Asia then, she put compost at the beginning. Then she also told me before my beet, she says, well, you want to add compost later as well. I put in some broccoli plants that are already growing quite large. She says, before they start to head, you want to give them more fertilizer. So, or more compost. So in our lives, we need to add fertilizer daily to our lives. We're a little bit different than a garden, not just a couple times, but every day. We need to tend the garden of our souls daily, and we need to learn to be consistent. We do this with our daily devotions, realizing we need the Word of God, the nutrients for our soul. We need the water of the Holy Spirit and the sunlight of just basking in God's presence. This morning, as we were being led in worship, it was really beautiful, by the way. Thank you all so much. I was saying, God, let your light shine on me. And just felt that strength coming from him. And this is something that we need every day. What are daily devotions like? Well, for some, it's early in the morning, first thing. Sit down with your Bible open. Know where you're going. Have a plan of reading scripture. Read one chapter. Read three chapters, whatever works for you. Find one verse of the day that you're going to hold on to. And spend time then meditating on that one verse. Especially the promises of God. When we see God has made a promise in his word, we need that promise to go deep. I kind of see the promises of God as like the seeds. And when we read a promise in the Bible, there's potential there, but that seed has to come into us. It needs to be planted. It needs to have compost put on it. It needs the rain and water of the Holy Spirit, the sun of the presence of God, the sunlight, and then that promise, as we meditate on it, as we keep it within us, is going to grow and bear fruit. For others, it might be before bed, or could be during your lunch break, any time throughout the bed. Find out what works for you. But I want to challenge you today, if you want to see growth in your life, your spiritual life, but not just your spiritual life, every aspect of life, your work, your school, your family, your sports, everything you do, you will find strength and success if you develop the consistent walk with the Lord that will nourish your soul. You might also want to spend some time worshiping with a song, putting on something on YouTube or on Spotify, whatever, and spending some time just letting that song minister to you. And then I would challenge you, take some time to pray. Pray for the things that are going on in your life. Make it a goal to cover everything in my day with prayer. Anything that we're doing, cover it. Lord, I lift this before you, and I ask for your covering. I'm lifting everything, the activities, my family, my work, and I ask you to be with me, Lord, as I go throughout this day, and let the covering of your presence be with me at all times. And then spend some time praying for others. You might have a list you want to pray for. I'd appreciate it if you'd pray for me often. Pray for Pastor Josh. Pray for Nancy and Natalie. Everyone who's working here in the church. Our volunteers. People that you're walking with. People that are your colleagues that need to know Jesus. Make a list of a few people. Pray for them every day. And then take time to listen to the Lord. Especially as you're meditating on his word. I find that's most often when I hear, when I feel like I'm hearing the voice of the Lord, is when his word speaks to me and I realize, this is for me in this moment. This is a verse that I needed. And along the way then, as we develop this consistent walk with the Lord, there's another little problem. We have to continue pulling out those weeds. Those of us who are gardeners, we know those weeds grow and we have to continue, maybe not daily, but once a week, every twice a week, we have to go out and weed the garden. And that's a continual process in our lives. Something else that's very important if we're going to have fruit is pollination. We're eventually going to start producing flowers as we're growing, as we're just spending this regular time in the Lord's presence. But we can't produce this fruit on our own. And pollination happens when we interact with other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Let's not neglect our fellowship together. Let's make sure that we meet regularly in our small groups, our 311 groups, getting together with friends for coffee, but taking the conversation deeper, praying together, and then time worshiping together. Sunday mornings, whenever that works for you. Let's spend time around God's word together. That's where a lot of, I feel the pollination takes place, is sitting with the word of God with other people and letting the word of God speak to us, searching diligently for truth. Then we're being pollinated so that we can bear fruit. Then we need to realize, and we need to claim this in faith, which would be verse 3 of Psalm 1. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. I'd like you to really meditate on this verse. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. So this is the promise of the Lord for us. He has planted us. And when we're abiding in Jesus, when we're spending time in his presence, in his word, basking in his presence, letting him fill us and pour out the water of his Holy Spirit upon us, then we are like that tree that's planted by streams of water, and we will grow green. We will grow strong. Our roots will be strong. We will not be budged by the storms of life, but we will become strong. Able to stand strong whenever we face trials, temptations, whenever life is just coming at us really hard, whatever it is, we will be strong. And not only that, we will bear fruit in season. Now, this spoke to me about bearing fruit in season. You know, Josh and I, we talk a lot. We get together and with others on our team as well, and we're talking about the things we'd love to see happen here. We're praying for them, but we know there's seasons. There's seasons when we're focusing more inwards. There's seasons when we're experiencing challenges. And then there's seasons when there's going to be growth. And let's wait patiently for the work of the Lord. It's important then we surrender and we say, listen, God, this is your work. It's not mine. It's not my responsibility as a pastor for this church to grow. I can't make that happen. I can only do my part and then trust and wait and see when is God, when is the season for fruitfulness coming. We're longing for that, but we know that we're already bearing fruit and God is doing his work and we need to release it to him. Paul said in Corinthians, Apollos planted, I watered, but what difference does it make? Or was it the other way around? Paul planted, Apollos watered. God brings the growth. Let's remember that. Be released from pressure of having to see results take place. God is the one who brings the growth. But he promises if we stay in his word, if we look to him expectantly, if we spend time in prayer, in fellowship, God will bring an abundant harvest to us. Amen? Excuse me. Isaiah 44, verses 3 through 4 says this, and just receive this as a promise to you. For I will pour water on thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar streams by flowing, by poplar trees by flowing streams. So today, if you're thirsty, if you're feeling the dryness in your soul and you're longing for more and you're saying, I'm tired of just feeling dry, Claim this promise, because this is what the Lord desires to do in your life. There's no question about it. We don't have to ask God, do you want this for me? Do you want me to bear fruit? Do you want me to be rich inside and full of vibrant life? We know that is God's appointment for us. I would invite you, stretch out your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, I need the rain of your Holy Spirit. Please come rain on me. Please come pour your living water into my soul, because I am thirsty and I need your nourishment and I need your life. Take that step of opening your Bible and learning to have that time with the Lord every day. Another scripture that we want to hang on to as a promise is Malachi 4:2. It says, but for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. I love that verse because we had a shed where we kept our calves, and sometimes we let them out, and they would kick their legs way up into the air. It was amazing to watch them frolic and run around. God wants to shine his light on us, giving us strength and life. It says here also, he will rise with healing in his wings. Our God wants to bring us healing. For those of us who feel like our plants have grown, but they've been toppled over by the storms of life, we feel like there's things in our lives that, we're wounded. Times when we've been hurt. Times there's things from our past, we don't even know what they are maybe, but we can sense there's a woundedness inside. Come to the Lord. Let him shine his light. Let him rise upon you with healing in his wings. Let's also go to each other and say, would you pray for me? It's a beautiful thing that God brings healing through our ministry for one another. I'd like to invite you today, whatever anxiety or worries, sorrows, doubts, or fears that you may be carrying, bring them to the Lord. Surrender them to him, for he carries them for us. He will bring fruit in your life. It's not your responsibility to make the fruit happen. It's his. But if we spend time in his word, in prayer, and in fellowship, God will bring the growth. He will work through us to bring much fruit, to impact the lives of others around us, and to impact this world. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Also in chapter 4, verse 19, it says, and my God will meet your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Let's just spend a moment resting in his presence and just invite you. In your heart, just speak out those words of, Lord, I surrender all these worries and anxiety to you. Everything in my life, Lord, I ask for your covering in your life to come. So, Lord God, we thank you that your favor is here and you are the master gardener. Lord, we surrender our lives to you. Lord, we want our lives to come in alignment with your purposes for us. So we ask, Lord, open your word to us that suddenly we would see things we've never seen before. Because, Lord, we need you. We need your word. We need your spoken word in our lives. We ask you, Lord, to feed us, to give us drink, Lord, to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. And Lord, let the light of your presence shine brightly on us. And Lord, I pray, let us rise then, as a plant then rises out of the ground. Let us rise, Lord, with our arms extended to you, enjoying your presence, Lord, so caught up in who you are, your beauty, your glory. that, Lord, the things around us fade away. Lord, we ask you, help us do the work of weeding out the things, Lord, that are competing for your attention in our lives, that are taking us away from the things that are really important. And Lord, we pray, cultivate us, make us new. Lord, we thank you for your promises. We thank you, Lord, for your plans for us. We thank you, Lord, for the plans you have for this church, this fellowship of believers. And we ask you, Lord, cultivate us. Lead us deeper into your presence, Lord. Lead us deeper into your word in our small groups and whatever groups we are in, Lord. Teach us to be those who pray for one another, that bring healing and life to one another. And Lord, we lift up this hurting world to you around us. And we pray, Lord, send us out. Let us be your harvesters. And Lord, bring fruit, we pray, through our lives and through the lives of this church. Lord, we thank you that you are good. Lord, we ask you, fill us with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and to your praise, we pray. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our worship team is going to lead us in a song about the great love of God. Let's use this as a time to prepare our hearts for communion, of applying what we learned, that we want to come close to Jesus, enter into his presence, and experience his life and his presence. I really need some water. I got so dried out.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I almost can't believe far beyond what hearts could ever dream. The God who said, the God.